Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana. And today we have a lot to cover, including the drama between Kanye and Pete Davidson, a Real Housewives scandal, and some great TV updates. But first, Sammy, you're back. I know you guys had talked about your trip on DST. I haven't listened to that episode. It's the first time in a long time that I'm like behind.
How dare you?
But how was your trip? Looked very fun. Looked like a Fila ad.
Well, that is funny that you say that, because so one of our friends, this guy, is obsessed with Fila. So for his birthday, like, we threw him a surprise party on our roof, the hottest roof in town, as you know.
The old roof.
Like 2 years ago. The old roof.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And part of like the surprise was that everyone wore these jackets because he like loves Fila jumpsuits. He has like 100 of them.
Jumpsuits. Okay.
The sweatsuits. Like Fila sweatsuits are his nap dresses for me.
Okay. So it'd be like if we threw you a party and we all wore nap dresses.
That would be like Sammy's dream.
Exactly. Exactly. That would be my dream. They wouldn't have to be matching if you do that.
You should have a nap dress mandatory party.
Okay. Like, well, I'm planning a big birthday this year.
She is planning a big birthday.
I'm planning a big birthday this year. So.
Oh, yeah. 33 is a huge
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Save right? the date of April. I never had I haven't had a birthday party in 10 years.
Sammy, I was at your birthday party last year.
That was like not a big birthday. It was on the roof.
You had masks made.
She wants to throw a rager.
It was on the roof. I want to throw a real rager, okay?
Doesn't count because it was on the roof.
Save the weekend of April 1st. Because we have a wedding on my actual birthday weekend. So just make sure you're around April 1st.
April 1st? I'm here.
Good.
You should send out save the dates. Sammy's huge 33rd.
Bash.
Yeah, Sammy's your nap dresses beforehand. Be sure to have them.
So it's a Friday night. That's great. I'm going to put it down for 8 p.m.
Okay. Good plan. Anyway, so we had those Fila sweatsuits from that past birthday. So we were like, we should bring them and wear them to Opry Ski because it's like clowny.
It's pretty clowny.
It's fun.
Yeah. So that's why we did that. But yeah, that was fun. It was a very fun trip.
Yeah. I feel like you're like a European ski girl. Like you're like, that's like a new level of like pretentious, but like in a good way, in an aspirational way.
Okay. I've been skiing in Europe one time.
But now you can say I ski in Europe.
We are going back with my mom to Switzerland, me and Avi. So after we do that, I can say I ski in Europe. But right now I can only say I have skied in Europe once.
And then you can say things like, oh, in France, the skiing is like this.
Yeah.
Or like,
well, in the story, she's like, I had to go from like Mirabel to Courchevel. And it was so far.
It was really far.
Okay. And I was like, okay.
I think just the nature of skiing in Europe just sounds like a whole new level of like.
It's like Sonia saying Stadt.
Okay, you're going to laugh. That is actually where we're going.
Just bring the Sage family slippers.
Morgan letters.
Sammy totally would have Sage family slippers like to go with the nap
if
dress.
They had
he would.
Them.
Don't give me any ideas. I have that idea now. If you ever want to go European skiing, I'm open. I'm free, you know, so let me know.
I don't know. See, I have a love-hate relationship with skiing.
I know.
I used to go when we were kids.
Yeah. I know. I used to go with Aileen's family a lot when we were kids.
And we used to go also with like our other friends' families. We would go all the time.
Yeah. I really didn't love it. I don't like being cold, really.
That's no, we know that. You like the sun. Yeah.
I do. I just don't. It's like, aren't you just, I know you have a kind of a low bar for discomfort. Aren't you like just uncomfortably cold like all day?
So no, because you get really hot when you're doing it.
You get warm outfits.
You also get really like hot when you're doing it. Like it takes, like I still really put in, it's so much work. You also have to like walk there with this, closing the stuff. I get why it's really annoying. It's just that I enjoy when I'm doing it enough that I'm willing to just be a little annoyed for you know,
right,
the time it takes to get there, and like you're holding your shit, and by the, and then you're like so hot, so it's like, you know, from getting dressed.
They should have a warm weather après ski, like après like beach volleyball or something.
Isn't that just lunch?
Oh my god, Avi would love that. He loves beach volleyball. That would be like He's a party. Extremely passionate about it.
Great, Avi and I will start an après beach volleyball club.
You and Avi have a lot of similar. He also bought Monopoly Deal, so where he's trying to get me to play games during dinner.
Nice.
Well, I did. We taught
chess.
Oh, you taught
I
them.
I taught Sammy Monopoly Deal.
Yes, yes,
and we won. Did.
That's impressive that you taught her. I cannot stand to teach anyone anything. I'm like the worst teacher.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm just like, this is like you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Was I a good teacher?
Oh, for me? Yeah, it was great. Yeah. We were amazing. I don't know that I remember exactly how to play because that was the only time I've ever played.
So maybe a bad teacher.
No, good teacher, but I just need to be like, I need to do it one more time.
Because of, Mila started crying. We didn't get the opportunity to play another round where Sammy used her skills and applied them to her own round.
Maybe she was crying because you didn't invite her to play.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
I want to own the property.
All right, should we talk about pop culture?
We should. Yeah, we should.
Let's do it.
Where do we start? Should we start with Kanye?
Yeah, let's briefly discuss Kanye and Pete Davidson.
Yeah, so the news, he released a track, a diss track, as they call it, where he was talking about Pete Davidson. He says, God save me from that crash just so I can beat Pete Davidson's ass. But this also is kind of at the same time as Kanye's kind of like following Kim around. Like he bought a house across from her.
Yeah.
He's apparently like going where she and Pete are going, and she had to like change
her plans. I thought
they
were like amicable. Like, didn't he come with her to like the SNL thing? Like, weren't they friends for a while?
Who knows what happened?
I don't know if it's like, I think Kanye's a very erratic person, and she probably was trying to keep him at bay for a minute. If I were her, I'd be like, oh, he would do fucking anything, you know? So I would be a little freaked out.
But why would he do anything? What has he done?
He could run his mouth about like any number of things at any time.
Right. But so
that would be no. But like what?
She should try to set him up with someone. Then he'll be like distracted.
He's with Julia Fox. He's with Julia.
Oh, right. Right. So if he's with her, isn't she like, why are you stalking your ex-wife?
Well, he's not stalking her. He's trying to spend time with his children. So I don't like
he's very, very fine with it that he's already putting Pete in a lyric.
Okay, that I fucking love diss tracks. I think that's so fun. Like, I love a musical feud.
It's a smart marketing move, too, because I wouldn't have heard about this. He even had a new song if not for that.
Okay, so also on top of the story, Kim threw Chicago a birthday party, and she did not tell Kanye where it was. He put out a video like saying, like talking shit about it. It's like, Kim, it's not letting me go to the party. I've called everyone to help me. I called Kylie, I called Courtney, I called whatever. I saw the video and I thought it was a parody. I thought somebody dubbed his voice as a joke over him speaking to a camera. I did not understand that was real. I even sent it to our mutual friend Alexa. I was like, haha, this is hilarious. I thought this was real. But like later I found out it was real. But then he did find his way to the party. But
probably he lost his way.
I think one of the family members helped him get there. I don't remember which one, but he was just trying to go to the birthday party, which I do just wanna
point out, like, he has done a lot of really erratic things just in general, but also about a week ago, he was accused of battery of a photographer. Yeah. So in Los Angeles. So that was a week ago. It's still obviously being like investigated because it's like pretty new, but.
Do you think Kanye has a therapist?
I feel like no.
I mean, he should.
I feel like he doesn't at this moment, but maybe.
I feel like he's one of those people who wouldn't believe in therapy.
Well, he doesn't like to take his medication because he's like, I believe he's bipolar.
If he's medicated, he probably has a doctor, a psychiatrist. But, like,
does he have a therapist? You know?
But so anyway, they're like apparently not on good terms. And according to the news, Kim and Pete have increased their security personnel. But okay, if you've increased your security personnel, great. But like, stop telling the whole world where you are in Staten Island. Like,
right.
Like you're telling all of this feels very like not
contrived.
Like, yeah. Not real.
If I, were, If I were Pete Davidson, I would just like bow out. Like,
no.
What is Pete Davidson doing?
What do you mean?
He's too happy-go-lucky, like, in that way. This is
the most famous he's going to get.
I mean,
it's probably fun for him.
Yeah. If it's even like real, to be honest.
I have a feeling it's okay. Real. The word real is so not like a firm word because it's like, what is real? They're not claiming that they're the loves of each other's lives. They're just going out for pizza, you know?
No, real really meaning like, is this feud really as
the feud
crazy as it seems? Like, is she actually really dating him for real, real? And like, is this all, you know, a thing they came up with together to get everybody to stop talking about Tristan? Like, I don't know.
You know, you never know. I believe anything with them. I wish there would one day be like the big book of the Kardashians and it explains what really happened with everything that happened.
Maybe there will be one day. Once
right.
Sort of like not all diamonds and rosé for the Kardashians.
Once Chris is like over, when she's like reaches a certain age, maybe she'll do that. Or she's like, I don't have the energy to like keep doing this. I'm just going to write about everything I did do.
Well, okay. I read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which was so good. And that was kind of like what the vibe was. Like she was revealing.
Oh, I want
to. It was really
was that,
good.
That was good. It's on my book list. Okay.
So good.
No, I'll read it.
I'll read it. Petra's Book Club.
I need another book. I don't have any books like that, like will grip me like that.
Every book is like Girl in the Closet or the Shower.
Girl in the Closet girl in the shower. Window.
Girl yeah. in the shower closet. Girl in the like, under, like girl in, under the desk on her computer. Like that's like literally.
Or it's like me, his, and ours.
Right. Yeah. We need another Gone Girl. Like, where is that woman who wrote Gone Girl?
Gillian Flynn.
Yeah,
she wrote Rolling like two money. Other books.
I know, but they weren't as good as Gone Girls.
Yeah,
I
nothing know. Is going to be as good. We need a new Gone Girl that's not Gone Girl.
Yeah,
like
someone
a new
write
type
it.
Of book.
I feel like I could do that. I just don't really have time. We have a lot of Zoom meetings. Like I could write,
I could write the next Gone Girl and also recreate Starry Night. But here like, I just book. Don't have. I could do the next Starry Night and the next Gone Girl, but I just don't have the time.
Guys, I got a new book title: Girl on Zoom Meeting. That is
Girl
that
on is Zoom.
Girl on Zoom.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Let's talk about Jenny from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because that is a big thing this week. Sammy, explain it.
Okay, so basically, I don't know why it happened yesterday, but somebody found her old Facebook, which was active yesterday, and they found basically a lot of memes. You can look at some of the examples on at Probably My Betch's Instagram account. We put like a few samples there, but those weren't even the worst ones. You would have to go on Reddit and I can send it to you. Obviously, I'll send you guys the link. So basically, went through her whole Facebook and she had posts from like mid-2020. And they were basically imagine, you know, the whole like racist uncle archetype?
Right.
Just imagine what the Facebook feed of that person would look like. And that was what Jenny's Facebook feed looked like. So one of the ones that we showed what on Bravo by Betches is it's like a cartoon of a woman and a car. And you know those car stickers that are like the whole family, you know, like stick figures yeah. of the family. It had like a bunch of those stick figures on the car. And then the speech bubble was like, these are like the protesters I've hit. Like, these aren't my kids. These are the protesters I've hit. And then there's like a lot of
Jenny.
Just, Jesus. Oh, it's like MAGA city. Like that, like is the vibe. It's very like anti-black, like very anti-BLM, like very pro-police. And then
saw a lot of pro-police stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there were like some very brutal images, and it's all from like bullshit news sources, and I'll just send it to you and you can see, but it was very surprising coming from her. And it's also interesting that it comes out right after those episodes aired about like where she was getting mad at Mary for
making
like,
racist
the slanted
comments about
eyes
her eyes
comment. Mm-hmm. So people were like, why? Then they're like, well, why did she come for Mary? You know, whatever. There are no heroes here. But yeah, that's basically what happened. And then she posted an apology, but the apology had lies in it. Like that was not a deactivated account. People found it yesterday or 2 days ago at this point. So it was not deactivated.
Right. And if it was so that she could go on TV.
Right, right. It was. Right. She created a new Facebook account as her like main account. And that's like the TV account, obviously. Right. And then she also said, like, I don't think those things anymore, but it's like you literally posted them a year and a half ago. It's not, you know, there's no way that her mind changed and since then. Like no one's mind changed since then.
I don't really like anyone on the show. I think that's why I don't like this show, Salt Lake City.
Yeah. I'm gonna ditto that. The only person I like, and I've been laughing at every single thing they say, has been Heather. She's been really funny. Like, her commentary has been funny. But everyone else, they don't like each other. They're screaming. They're hiding things about each other, which is very obvious. And things that we've read also, like, have you read the rumor, again, alleged rumor that, like, Jen Shaw and Meredith Marks were hooking up with the same guy from in New York City? And then also a recent one came out that they've hooked up with each other. And like,
what?
Yes. And then that's like underlying things. Like you felt a sense of it in the last episode where like Jen was like, you want me to say things about you and you're like 14 boyfriends. And then Meredith's like, you can say whatever you want. Say it, honey. Like I can say anything about you. I know everything. Like, so there's a lot like under the surface. Meanwhile, I find Whitney like kind of annoying. She's just getting drunk and just whatever. Mary has Mary is not friends with anyone.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why Meredith like takes her side.
Their friendship is not believable. There's something marrying the two of them.
Right.
Obviously.
Because there's no thread holding them together.
Another thing I think about them, many of the women to me read as incredibly sketchy. Pretty much every person other than Heather and Whitney reads to me as like something fucking sketchy is going on that we're not seeing. I don't really know what it is.
Right.
But with Heather and Whitney, I do believe that they are who they are. And the reason I think is that their main like controversy of adulthood was leaving Mormonism. So they were too busy like leaving Mormonism to scam elderly people or whatever else these other people are doing. I think you can look at each Mary, obviously, Jen, now Meredith, there's something going on there. And then Lisa Barlow with her 4 tequila companies out of Mormon, Utah that not one person has ever heard of. Something is up there. She's great entertainment, but like, I don't know. I want to take a closer look. And then you just, like, Heather and Whitney just sort of are like, I feel like they kind of mostly are who they are. So,
I don't know. Every time they're all together, I just feel like it's kind of like you put a bunch of people who are not friends and don't like each other, like, on a road trip together.
Yes.
And it just seems, like, extremely forced.
They're all, like, exhausted. They don't want to be here. You're not supposed, like, a housewife's main plot should not be, I don't want to be here, which is Meredith's entire line. Like, everywhere she goes, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
It's like,
I'm
that's unrealistic. She would just not
who
go.
Who gives a shit?
In a real world, she would just not go.
Literally, like, and then Whitney's, like, forcing that. She's trying to stir the pot in a way, but it doesn't, like, the drama's not like, I don't care. The funny Mary's like punk on Whitney and telling her to wear like a different theme was the most childish thing I have ever seen. Like, for somebody to do that like in a non-endearing way, like not as like a joke on a friend, but like just to fuck with someone
as a mean
makes no sense.
With no basis of friendship.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's so different than, like, do you remember in the last season of a New York where like they're all, they know Sonya's lying and they're like making fun of her. They're like asking her questions because they know she, but at least that's like, you know, they have like a structural friendship that like has happened before that to where it makes it not like, so weird to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have all this built in friendship.
The thing that stands out to me even more though, like, which was very apparent in this last episode, was they're just like, Jen especially is just yelling at each other. First of all, it makes me very conscious of never wanting to yell one thing ever again. But like, it's just, it is, you don't want to watch this. Like, it's like not a good look for women. Just like shouting at each other. And I also felt Lisa Barlow, like Jen was just attacking her. And Lisa's like, I'm at my limit. Please stop. Get the fuck out of my face. Like, I felt her there. Like, what if she says, I'm retreating. Like, girl, go away. And then Jen is just like, wants to beat the shit out of her. Like, I was just like, what, this
Jen
isn't
is just
good.
Ranting all fucking season. If you turn on the show at any given point, her just like screaming and like having a tantrum. Like, no one really wants to have someone have a tantrum every
all the time.
Week. Yes. Like, you could have one per season and it's like entertaining. But every single episode, it's just like, this is annoying. You're annoying me.
Right.
One per season is about my rate of tantrums. So sounds good. I actually think the show would have been better if, like, there weren't so many weird dynamics and the only thing to uncover was Mary's church cult. I think that if, like, everyone was sort of on that page, that that's what, like, this season was about, that could have made a very, very interesting season if they had kind of gone Meghan King Edmonds on it rather than focusing on, like, Jen and, like, these weird alliances. And
yeah,
also, if Meredith was anti-Mary, that would have also been interesting because I feel like she would have been on top of some things.
That said, if, like, fast forward a few episodes, they do uncover what is the alliance between Mary and Meredith, like, what is going on behind the scenes that connects all of the plot lines, that then would be interesting. But all of that said, like, Jenny's, like, posts, do you think she's going to be invited back? No, right? Like, what do you think?
I don't know. Maybe they would invite her back as a friend. I don't think she was, like, that outstanding of a housewife that they like need to have her back if it's going to cause issues.
Yeah, I don't enjoy watching her that much anyway. So I find her kids. Yeah, yes. I was going to say her kids are like really are way better into TV than she is. Like they're like they seem like really smart and really like, quick and they're like have huge personalities. Like I do enjoy watching her kids, but I don't enjoy watching her.
Imagine they get invited back and she doesn't.
I get excited when they come on the screen. Like the girl is so funny.
Yeah, but, and like seems really smart.
Yeah, really smart. Can you give me the recipe for mac and cheese? It's on the box.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me. So I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself. And that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Betches. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game
game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Let's talk about Summer House and Kyle and Amanda.
Kymanda.
Oh, yes. You know, I was really rooting for them, and I kind of felt like they had worked through a lot of their stuff. And I guess maybe I was blinded by the pandemic year that sort of tamed Kyle a bit, but no bueno. Not good.
Well, here's the thing about like this relationship is like there are times when they seem so good on TV, and I think everyone sort of like overinvests in that. Like in the Winter House thing when he was like crying because he couldn't find her, everyone's like, "Oh, Kyle's so in love." It's like,
no, that's codependency.
Right. It's
that's
also
why
just
they
like
have cute moments because they are codependent.
Right. It's like a very much a roller coaster of things. And I think like the thing you have to think about through their relationship was entirely built on reality TV. Pretty much like when the show started the first season, she's like 24 and he's like kind of hooking up with her, but like hooking up with a bunch of other people. And then like she joins the show as like a permanent cast member, like moves into the house, and like people liked them. And I think that like fandom of the people kind of rooting for them probably made them stay together a lot longer than they would have if
it's interesting
they were just a regular couple.
She also doubled down on that whole thing by leaving her job. Like she could have done her own kind of thing, but she left that and then went to work for him. And he apparently is in quite a bit, or the company maybe has quite a bit of debt, like millions. And I'm not sure if that's like a business loan or if it's like he's on the hook for
There's
it.
There's no way Bravo is not invested in this company. They show it constantly.
No, but they definitely they probably have a percentage, but they're not putting in money.
Right. They have like a percentage for constantly advertising Loverboy on the show.
Right. I think that Loverboy will probably get bought by like a bigger alcohol company because it is very popular and it does have like a really strong like place in the space. But I wonder how well it's actually doing if merch is like half of their business, as he said. And I just wonder if she didn't like there is a lot of financial stuff in here. And like even the existence of the contract that if he
also should, like, that he has to pay her back. Right.
But exactly. But he can't pay her back without hurting her finances. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like it's so
they're too tied. They're tied together in so many in every single aspect of their lives, in the show, in their business. They live together. They're getting married. It's like there's a lot on the line.
It's like if we all entered into a three-way marriage, so that would be like a real, and we work together.
Like if we the three of us live together. Yeah.
Yeah.
For those who haven't seen the episode, in the season premiere, it was revealed, Amanda revealed, that Amanda's parents made Kyle sign a contract stating that he would pay them back every penny for the wedding if, you know, the wedding's called off due to his drinking. But then Kyle says on Watch What Happens Live, actually, that it was Amanda's plan. The parents didn't propose that. That was Amanda's plan, and I agreed to it because I want to have a stake in the game.
Skin in the game.
Skin in the game.
Besides the whole legal wedding thing.
Right, besides the wedding.
You know what else was surprising to me? The fact that like they're like, especially on Watch What Happens Live, where he's like, I was supposed to have like the contract was to make me have like a financial like skin in the game. And it's also like Kyle is like 40 years old. Like he's not kidding. He wasn't paying any money towards his wedding. He's 40 years old. He's Amanda's parents are paying for the entire thing. And he's 40. I think that's very weird. Right.
Well, because he put in all the finances in Loverboy.
I'm sorry, he's 39. Correction, he's 39.
He's almost 40. I still like them.
They looked happy at their wedding, like happy to get married. But
I like them.
But then you sort of look at it, and it's like if these were my friends, I'd be like, this is not a good idea.
I think also though, okay, so watching Watch What Happens Live, and Kyle said that they watch every episode together and this one they did not watch. I think that they were just embarrassed for both of their behavior. Like, Amanda probably feels bad that she talked about that because she was also drunk, and he probably felt bad for everything that he said and did. And it was just, it just like made their relationship look. I do wonder like how they get to the place of getting married, because he does say that he's like, it's hard to watch because, you know, 3 months later we got married. So it's just, it was a tough one.
Well, to me, it's obvious how they get to the place of getting married. Like, this is their relationship. It's not like this is a one-off thing. Like, they she said they had a fight about this a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It's clearly like they're on and they're, it's like, there's highs and there's lows. It's like a roller coaster relationship. And like, clearly his drinking is like the crux of their issue. And he seems to have absolutely no desire to like change his drinking habits.
Yeah,
that to me is like the main thing. It's like he doesn't seem to care at all about changing his. Every time he drinks, that's when she gets upset. He stays out later. He's ignoring her calls. And she's like, and that's the issue. And there's no part in any of this where he's like, I'm going to try to drink less. Not even not drink, just drink less.
Well, he claims that he only does this in the summer. And it's like, okay, well, you're doing that at the expense of your relationship.
Yeah, but I'm sure also, which then adds the other layer that like they need to sort of create this drama to stay on the show. And the show is part of their relationship. So it's like really right. It's a fucked up cycle a little bit. Well, that said, I am rooting for them.
Well, here's the thing. I can't imagine if someone cheated on me, if someone got so blackout that they cheated on me and didn't remember. And part of the solution of us getting back together wasn't them deciding to drink much less, because clearly, like, that clearly was never part of the solution for the fact that, like, he cheated on her, and that happened when he was blackout right. drunk, so he says. And, like, part of the resolution to that clearly was not that he would drink less. So to me, it's like the issue has just never been addressed.
I have two comments on that. You're so right, because that is the, like, if there's a chicken and egg in a codependent relationship, the person who's drinking and doing the things is, no offense, they're the beginning of it. Like, she's an enabler, clearly. Like, she right. could leave. Like, if she, you know, obviously she doesn't want to actually leave, and she has a lot of incentives not to leave. But the fact that he knows she will never actually do anything about it is why he's like, you know what, fuck it. I'll stay out 2 hours later than every other person and not answer her. It's like, why wouldn't you just answer her? Or text her back. Like, he clearly has such a little low respect for her that it's really baffling.
Right. And even the way he described it was like, I was already in trouble. So like, I saw 15 missed calls and I was like, I'm already in trouble. I'm just going to like,
that was rough.
I'm going to like double down and just like right, do whatever yeah. the hell I want, which is kind of like,
she's going to be mad. Why would you? And you're on camera, like, you're going to have to explain your behavior. I guess when you're drunk, you're not thinking about that. But
with the exception, though, of a lot of what happened in this episode, I do think they know they need to create drama for them to stay on the show.
It seems real, though. It does.
I said,
it did
with
seem
the
real.
Exception of a lot of what happened in this one, like him going and not answering her texts, with the exception of this episode.
Right.
Like, I think that that's probably part of it. They know they need to, like, stay on.
I'm sure that's part. Although he was so drunk that I don't think he was like acting in that thing, because he definitely appears extremely drunk. I also think he revels in like the fame of being on the show. Like when they showed the Bravo footage of him at Southampton Social, he's clearly like taking pictures with fans and like sort of like, again, doubling down on that like summer house personality of his that he like clearly the fans like. He's taking pictures with girls who like want to take pictures with him. Like, if I were her, I would be like, of course he could black out and cheat on me again. There's people who are like, he has a fame. It's not like he has to even like, he has to aggressively go out and like find someone to sleep with. Like, he has a lot of fans. They're at this place for the show. Like, to me, it would be like, not if, but when. If he's done it before and he didn't remember, supposedly. I don't know. I don't fully believe that he didn't remember, though.
The thing is, this is going to come out immediately. Like, it'll show up on Dumois the next day. Like, everyone will know the second he cheats on her. And it's just sad because she probably likes to some degree, like, being the one to, like, tame the king of summer house, you know? but she isn't, and she keeps getting fucked over, and she could truly do so much better. Like, I could see her being with, like, a stable, very successful guy who treats her well. She seems like a good friend, pretty much, like a good family girl. Like, she really could do so much better, and it is, like, kind of sad that she has to, like, go through it to, I don't know. I don't really understand how you could be, like, in therapy, and then the therapy clearly is not working. Like, he's still doing these really fucked up things. And
right. Did the therapist ever suggest that he drink less?
Like, I don't see how a therapist could not suggest that he drink less. His behavior is documented.
Right. And all their issues are around that. Here's the
thing. Even if let's say the behavior is fine, it really upsets Amanda, and that's his wife. So
it's not, I don't think it's, I also don't even think it's fine to, like, go out and then, like, you're with your wife
neither.
And then you don't go home with her and then you ignore her calls for 3 or 4 hours. To me, I don't think that's, like, even if she was like, it didn't upset her, I wouldn't think that would be, like, appropriate behavior.
It's disrespectful. Carl talking about Lindsay on the Watch What Happens Live felt so weird, right?
Yeah. There was something weird about that whole thing.
Well, he was shy. It seemed like he was really shy about it because, I mean, he's sober now. I'm sure it's very hard to, like, now be on television after being sober. He goes to AA meetings to keep up with it. Like, that's, I'm sure, extremely difficult. So having to, like, talk about his new relationship with Lindsay, who drinks, I don't know. I'm sure it's challenging. But yeah, it did seem a little funny, but I'm going to chalk it up to him being shy about it, and it's hard to be earnest on TV.
Maybe. I don't know. There's something about that I didn't believe.
Two questions. Do you think they have chemistry? And do you think that they are gonna, like, you know, go the distance?
No, I don't think they're going the distance. I think they're kind of using each other for a plot line. And also, I think it's hard to
I don't think Lindsay's using him.
Who I think when you're on a reality show, anyone you date has this whole vision of you as this person on a reality show, and it becomes a huge part of your relationship with whoever you're dating. It's easier to date someone who's already in that world. That's why they're all dating people from the show. Even Paige and even Lindsay in the beginning of this season are still seeing people from a previous, from like Winter House. So I don't know. I just think, like, they're a convenient plot line for each other. Like, where else do their storylines really go? To date each other is a great plot line. And I don't think it'll last post the show.
I'm feeling very romantic and I hope it lasts. I don't know. Maybe, but they are best friends. That's real.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the fact that Carl changed his life, quote unquote, or is, like, trying to. And now this is when he, like, is willing to date Lindsay. I don't think he would date her for PR. I don't either. I think he would be like, I don't want to fuck with that for PR. I think he would only do it if he really wanted to give it a shot. And maybe kind of, they've known each other a really long time. They've definitely, like, kind of tried this before. Who knows why that really didn't work out? Like, I don't know if it'll be, who knows what the relationship's actually like, but I could see them lasting, like, a year at least.
I just see the challenge is Lindsay gets activated and she drinks a lot, and her behavior is, I'm sure, going to be hard for Carl, who's sober. Like, I can see that being a big problem.
But, like, okay, it's sort of the opposite of the codependency. If Carl is, like, sober and trying to live in a different way than he did before, like a more values-oriented way, let's say, he will provide more security for her naturally. So that
she'll,
it'll
drink
be
less.
Easier. Not even, no, I don't know if she'll drink less, but it will, I think, be probably over time she will start to feel more secure in that relationship. And if he's constantly being, like, sober and rational and he really cares about her, then I could see it sort of working.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe it'll be a challenge, but
all relationships take work.
Again, I'm real hopeless romantic today. I want everyone
Aileen's
just to be
in a mode
forever.
Yeah, I it's nice. You know, won't be great reality TV though. No.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with little sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's talk about more TV. let's start with And Just Like That.
Let's talk about last week.
Let's just talk about last week. Okay, so this was the episode with it opens with the seasons changing. A few months have passed. Charlotte is throwing an auction with her chic friend, Lisa Todd Wexley. The part that really stuck out to me was how Carrie invites Che to perform at it, knows Miranda is kind of really into Che and that Che is going to be there. And Carrie doesn't tell Miranda. That's the wildest thing I've ever heard.
Carrie doesn't give a shit about anyone. I was like, literally the recurring theme in every single episode is that Carrie brings every single problem back to Big Dying and trying to minimize it in relation to Big Dying. Everything yes. is like, oh, like you think this is a tragedy? Like Big died. Like, oh, like you want to redo, like you want a facelift, but like Big died. It's kind of like everything is made about herself. Nothing is an issue as much as it is for her.
No, she literally said, I win to Anthony about yes. her situation being worse, like, well, competition.
Every time they sit down to, like, you know, their dinners or whatever. Also, I like how they're casually trying to replace Samantha as that fourth seat.
They're, like, although auditioning.
I really do like her.
Seema?
Yeah, I like Seema. But every time they sit down, it's like it Carrie's problem. It's Carrie's talking about her problems. And then in this new episode, I'm not going to give anything away, but they sit down and Miranda launches into something. And Carrie goes, well, I'll just, I guess my little problem with my roommate's going to have to wait. Literally, Miranda launches into like a big update, like life update. And I don't know if that was like part of the joke, like were the writers like making fun of Carrie? I wasn't sure.
Right. Are they in on it?
Yeah, like I'm trying to figure that out.
I think the writers know because that's sort of the defining characteristic of Carrie in the observant viewer's mind is that she's just very self-centered. And she really only sees the world through Carrie's eyes. Ever.
Right. Well, the show is kind of through Carrie's eyes.
But she only wants the conversation to be about her. you know?
Right.
Right. Like, if she were a good friend, she would have said something to Miranda or ever, like, initiated a conversation. Like, she doesn't even initiate the conversations about the fact that Miranda is, like, trying to be sober or cheating on her husband. Like, she's very much like, oh, you want to talk about that? Like, I guess we can talk about that.
Small problem. But what about my husband who died?
Yeah.
She's like, and even when they're at, like, that picnic outside, Charlotte's like, you didn't knew and you didn't tell me? And Carrie, like, you could tell Carrie's thinking, like, yeah, I didn't care. So that's why I didn't tell you. Like, I wasn't thinking about it.
But, yeah, it is weird because even, I think, very self-centered people do care about interesting stuff like that, but maybe not. I don't know.
I think it's partially, though, like, harder because they have to, like, drive the plot forward. And it drove the plot forward for Miranda to bump into Che.
Right. But it could have also happened that Miranda was, like, nervous for Che to be, you know, it could have gone a different way and still happened.
Carrie was only nervous because her Tinder date was there. And then she sent her friend outside the party to go. Why does everyone cater, like, coddling her? Like, if we were at a party and you were like, oh, that guy, some guy I went on a date with is here, like, I feel really uncomfortable, I'd be like, okay, well, like, I'll see you later. I wouldn't be like, oh, let me, like, leave the party, go, like, figure out when he's coming and going, and then, like, let you know. And, like,
why, right, like, security guard?
Who is doing this for her? Like, why is everyone just, like, obsessed with making Carrie as comfortable as humanly possible?
Well, I think they're getting away with it because the show is getting away with it because Carrie just experienced this big loss, no pun intended. And that's, like, so they're all sort of just, you know, oh, how can I be the better friend and make you feel good?
Right.
I actually thought the vomit date scene was great.
I like
I was
that
a little confused. Yeah, that was a, I liked that scene a lot. It felt very original Sex and the City, just kind of whimsical. Here's the thing. She acted like it was so embarrassing after. And I'm like, you both threw up. Like, you both were really drunk. Like, this isn't, like, that big of a deal. It would be way worse if you threw up on him only, but he did. It's almost kind of, I felt it was a little bit romantic that it was, you know, like, their first
kind, like, of, yeah,
date, each of their first dates. And it ended with them very drunk and, like, okay, that's not that big of a deal.
Why is this guy at this auction?
Because I think he works with the school. He's a teacher.
Okay.
He's a teacher?
He's a teacher. He's a math teacher.
He works at the school that the fundraiser is for.
Small world.
Yeah, small world. Can't believe that happened. The one guy she matched with happens to be at one event that also Che is at, surprisingly.
Right.
Also, Che is everywhere. Like, why is Che at every single event ever that they all do together?
Right. You know, Charlotte was the most annoying when she wouldn't apologize to Harry.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Okay, but I think she's stressed out. And then
the whole patriarchy thing. It's like that had nothing to do with this.
I think Charlotte is stressed out.
Charlotte is the most regressive of all of the characters. She literally just married Trey because he had a Park Avenue apartment. And now she's trying to talk about, like, the patriarchy.
But I think the point is that she is stressed about, like, she's stressed out, like, she needs to catch up with everything that is going on to get with her children who are quickly changing as well. So I think that's, like, what Charlotte's evolution is going to be. And I think it's kind of interesting. Like, I mean, it was clearly, like, she was having a tantrum. Like, that wasn't real. Like, Harry was right. But I think that's what we were supposed to think. Like, I think she's just really stressed out about everything that's happening.
I imagine she is. Yeah, I think that makes sense because both her best friend and her daughter are having these, like, major changes with their gender and sexuality. And she's probably.
I can't wait till you guys watch this new episode.
Okay.
Nothing like crazy. I mean, actually, something crazy does happen, but I want to talk about it so badly.
Well, give you something to look forward to next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. Can we talk about Yellow Jackets?
Okay, so we want to talk about Euphoria, but we're not going to today because we talk about Euphoria on DST, our show, Back for Seconds. So go check that out. But it's a subscription show, so if you want to hear it, subscribe. So we're going to talk about Yellow Jackets. Sammy, I know you're not interested, but
I think you should watch it.
Since have watched it.
I'm going to give it another try. I just need to close my eyes for, like, the gross shit.
There's not that much of it.
There's not that much. The finale aired last week.
I liked the finale.
Some things
are very weird.
Annoying. Like, really annoying.
Yeah. I mean, spoilers ahead. But First of all, I just couldn't get over the accent at the reunion of the friend.
I know.
Just like, where
did that come from?
Why does she have a Queen's accent? She didn't have one when she was young, and like none of the other people do.
Where is the school?
Jersey, New Jersey.
Oh, so she's a Jersey accent.
But no one else has that accent.
Yeah, that
she didn't
weird.
Have it when she was like 16 in the show.
Right. Yeah, it's really heavy Jersey accent. It's like to remind you that they're from Jersey. I forgot that they're from Jersey. That's actually really funny. Yeah, I liked the finale. I thought, again, spoiler. I can't believe the husband would ever do that. Like, it makes no sense why he would jeopardize, like, first of all, her relationships with these people. He would physically go, like, pick up this money with a gun. Like, that doesn't... Is he stupid? Like, is he supposed to be a stupid, like, happy-go-lucky kind of, like, husband? Like, is that his vibe?
I think he is supposed to be, like, kind of stupid.
Right.
Because he says, even, like, when he's talking about Jackie, he's like, I was just the high school boyfriend. Like, kind of, like, implying that, like, it was clear that, like, she was going to do better than him once she left. And also, kind of, like, that Shauna would also have, like, if had she not kind of gone through this plane crash thing, like, also would have gone to Brown and found someone, like, a lot better than him. But I agree. It would be, like, that's your big idea. Like, if you're in debt, that's your idea.
And yet you can go to Saks and buy her dress. First of all, two dresses. First of all, like, how do you know her size? Like, that makes no sense to me.
I mean, she is his wife, so.
Yeah, but, like, Russ, he could never buy me a dress.
Or he would just never, like, that would just not be something he would be trying to do.
It's such a hard thing to buy size for. And they all just fit.
Okay. Also, when they're doing, like, when they're doing the what was it, prom or something?
Yeah.
At the in the wilderness. Where do they get these tiki torches? Like, it looked like a designed wedding. I'm like, there's, like, the flower crowns. I'm like, what? Like, who was, like, the art designer behind this thing? Because they did a really good job.
Agreed. And where did what's her name? Christina Ricci's younger character. What's her name? Misty. Where did she get all these shrooms?
That too. I mean, I could see her kind of having them.
I guess maybe, like, but where did they come from? And I don't know.
Her plan was to drug the coach and then, like, rape him.
But they weren't in love before. She wasn't in love with him before. It's like she just brought them on the plane. It doesn't make any sense. Why would she bring enough? How many shrooms do you need?
That everyone had it.
That it really messed up. What I liked, though, is that they revealed that everything is because of Lottie. Like, Lottie
She's doing alive,
everything.
I guess.
Yeah, she's alive. I want to know, like, who Adam was or is. Like, I thought it might be Javi. A lot of people kind of thought the same thing because they were kind of alluding to it.
I want to know what's going on with him. That was like, because he was younger, she was saying. He's like younger.
Yeah, he was younger. He kind of looks like him. He's all of a sudden like so obsessed. Well, R.I.P. But okay, so I said... We both said, like, we don't like the ghost stuff. And then a lot of people were like, there is no ghost stuff. It's all, like, manifestations of, like, Lottie's mental illness. And I said, okay, yeah, sure. But with the exception of Thaisa, has flashbacks of seeing dead people.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to figure out what the, like, actual supernatural stuff is. Like, is there a woman in the trees? Their son scares... I think the scariest character is their son. He's the scariest character. I get, like, very anxious whenever he's on the screen, like, wondering what he's going to... Like,
what he's going to do.
Scary children are so much scarier than, like, scary adults. And everything about him is extremely creepy. And, like, what did she find? What did the wife find in the basement? Like, the dead dog?
Oh, my God. Yes, the head of a dead dog.
And that Thaisa
that
who did
was
it?
Thaisa, yes.
Okay.
I think. Or Lottie, or Thaisa and Lottie, or Lottie and Thaisa are the same person, or who knows?
Also, why did no one care that Shauna was sleeping with Jackie's boyfriend? Like, I'd be annoyed if I were her too. Like, she reveals the whole thing and everyone's like, okay, like, who cares? Also,
go. No, you go and then me.
Why would Jackie not just go inside? If it was so cold, like, just go inside.
I agree. Like, knock on the door.
The door's probably open. Like, you could just go and, like, I think I find it very hard to believe that someone would freeze to death rather than just go inside. The door is right there.
Like, you can't just sleep and then all of a sudden be like buried.
You wouldn't be able to fall asleep.
You would have to wake up. It's too cold. You would wake up from being chilly.
The urge for like to protect yourself or like for internal survival is such that you wouldn't just be freezing to death right outside of a warm home.
Exactly.
I don't believe that.
Your sleep cycles protect you from danger, actually. I've learned through baby stuff. Wait, hold on. I just had a theory that just came to me and I said it briefly, but I think it has some validity. What if Thaisa and Lottie are like, what if Thaisa had like a schizophrenic type of break and she assumed the personality or is Lottie in like another, as a, like maybe Lottie did die, but she is now Lottie in this new life. And so she kind of is both people. Like she is doing the thing that they are like, do you know a Lottie person? Like that is still her.
Hmm. I could see that.
Theory. Could be.
I thought the finale was good. I'm kind of missing that, like, there hasn't been a show in a while where I was like, I need to know the answers behind like what happened.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And so
yeah.
I'm excited for season two. I'm sure it'll be a while, but.
It was scary to watch at night, right?
It is scary. It's like very, yeah. You know what I really hate? Their intro is like terrifying.
Oh my
God,
I know
intro song. They don't even let you skip it. I know,
Showtime, get with the program.
The music makes me anxious. The visual, like the lights, I feel like I'm like in like a scary underground rave.
Yeah,
where someone's
going to
die.
It's too long. It's like 7 minutes.
Exactly. But that's it for Yellow Jackets for the season because the finale was there. And we will be back next week. And we'll talk more about Sex and the City and we'll talk more about other stuff. And you can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
Follow me at Sammy.
And I'm at Aileen. Be sure to rate, review, and follow our show on Apple and Spotify. You guys, if you really like this show, can you please leave us a review? We would really, really appreciate it. We love those reviews. Or, you know, leave a 5-star and write what's your favorite show that you want us to go watch or binge or rewatch. I was thinking about maybe watching Yellowtail. Do some suggestions. Maybe post
Yellowtail?
Your Yellow Jackets.
Yellowtail.
Sorry. Yellowstone. I have wine on my mind. But maybe put like what your theories are for Yellow Jackets in our reviews. Give us 5 stars. Go do it. And subscribe too. It's always fun when you do that. And then we will be back next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.